It's 88.5 KCSN, and we are about to embark on a live session with our friend Ingrid Michaelson. Welcome, Ingrid. How have you been?
I'm good. I'm hot. It's kind of hot here.
Yes, it is.
What's going on with that?
Well, it's Los Angeles in the valley.
It's supposed to be 81 and kind of cool all the time here, I thought. I just came from New York, literally off a plane. We just landed about 2 hours ago.
It is a... It's probably 78, but you have to...
Is it?
Like Laura, you have to be over by the water to get 78.
Okay.
You come out here, we add 15 degrees.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's warm.
But you know what? It's not going to snow today.
That's true. Hey, it hasn't snowed in a week, okay, in New York. We've had a few days of no snow.
So, new record, Lights Out. We're not going to get into the intense part of it, the discussion, until after you've done a song, because I want to make sure that we keep it this light and breezy as much as possible. But I have read that. Let's do the light and breezy part of the interview now.
Ooh, you're totally tantalizing the audience to tune in to the salacious drama of my life.
You know, within respectful boundaries. But you did one thing you did do differently on this record is you decided to work with a number of songwriters and producers as well.
Yeah,
pretty decent amount. How many writers, co-writers, and how many producers did you work with on this?
11 co-writers and 6 producers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that unto itself would seem to be for you. Mm-hmm. At the center of all that, you have to be the constant.
Right, right.
And how do you, in your own mind, keep a track of, okay, is this thing shaping mm-hmm. up like...
I know what you're saying. Is there a common thread that sort of strings all of the songs together? That was really... Well, in the past, it's always been just me, one producer. I write all the songs. I have ultimate control. And it's I had so much control, it almost suffocated me. And I felt like I had to just sort of... do something completely. You know that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza does the opposite of everything he normally does? He's like, I'm 35, I live at home with my mother. And she's like, hi, I'm Laura, you know? So I kind of was like, I'm just going to do everything differently. And I went to Nashville, I went to LA, New York, and I worked with all these different people, and I co-wrote, which I really never did for my own work before. And it was just this really great sort of eye-opening experience for me. And ironically, I think it's one of my most personal records, because when you write with the right person, it opens up kind of parts of you that you didn't even know were there and allows you to explore a lot more. But one of my main concerns was, is the record going to be cohesive? Because I still like the idea of having a cohesive record. I know it's a singles-driven world,
right.
But it took me a long time to sequence the songs the way that I wanted them. And, you know, but luckily, all of the producers... I kind of had them meet and, or at least have email conversations. And so there was this, and in fact, Chris Kuffner, who's in my band, who produced 4 of the songs, he played on all of them. So he came with me and sort of helped guide this record. And
so Chris kind of gave you perspective on the other producer styles.
Exactly.
And everything else.
Yeah, and he actually shifted some of his ideas. He's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to, you know, when we go back to New York, because we were in Nashville, I was like, I'm going to do this to this song because I feel like it'll fit this vibe more. And it was really amazing. And it just all kind of came together and in this really magical, perfect way amidst my life being filled with drama, this wonderful little gem happened. Not even little. I'm really proud of it. I'm very happy. And now we're not going to play a song from it yet.
You
know, my segue.
It is funny because we are going to talk that there was some, you know, the personal.
Yeah.
We won't get into that, but there was drama in your life and we won't, you know, we'll handle it sensitively. But I want to figure out now, just you so breezily said, oh, and I got together and worked with, was it 11?
Yeah, I believe it's 11 different writers.
Yeesh.
Separately.
I can't get along with 3 people.
Right,
I don't
we weren't
know.
All in one room together writing a song. It was, you know, a handful of the songs that I wrote by myself, and then, you know, a couple I wrote with one other person, and then a few I wrote with 2 people. So it mounts up to 11 different people.
Was that, now that had to be to some degree a new learning experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because A, there were different styles of songwriting and ideas about songwriting, and B, that sometimes there was more than one person that you were literally trying to connect with.
Yeah.
How did you, you make it sound like, yeah, I just went in and I did that.
Well, there were a couple sessions that with people that didn't quite pan out the way that I wanted them to be.
Fist fights?
No fist fights, more like internal frustration, I think is like both Allie and Billy, who are here with me and my band, they're both songwriters, and there's something so magical about when you click with someone, and there's something so dreadful and painful about when you're in a room with somebody who you admire and you like their writing, and you just can't get something going, and you both know it, and then that sort of feeds the negativity. And so I had a couple of those, but for the most part, I started off writing with this guy named Trent Dabbs, who's a friend of mine who I've toured with, and he and I wrote six of the songs together that's on the record. Five or six, but he was a really great part of learning how to co-write with someone, because he co-writes all the time. Like every day, he's writing a song with somebody. So he kind of helped me learn how to navigate those waters in a positive way. And then I just started writing with
Lana. Good bedside manner.
Yeah, we just wrote really well together. And the first time we got together, we wrote two songs, and they're both on the record. And we wrote them in a matter of maybe 3 hours. Two complete songs, just boom, boom, done.
That's a song machine.
Yeah, we were both like, what is going on? This does not happen.
No, it doesn't.
Ever. And the songs are like both really special. It's Open Hands and Ready to Lose are the two songs I wrote with Trent that are, and there's other ones too, but those are the ones that we wrote in the same day, back to back, and then recorded them that night.
And then the ones where you felt it going awry, did you deploy the old, it's not you, it's me?
No, I just, I tried my hardest, and then I would just, you know, we both kind of, it's like when you go on a bad date, you know, you're not going to be like, I'm going to give it another go. Like, you both go your own way, and you go on to somebody else.
So in other words, you didn't leave your number.
No.
Or gave him a wrong number.
Right, no.
That's why we've been getting those request calls, asking if Ingrid's
here.
Yeah,
but it is your number. I hope it's okay.
Well, I thought they were requesting songs. They actually wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, they want to know, what happened to that song we were working on?
All right, well, do you want to play one of the songs now, or sing one of the songs?
First, we're going to do an oldie, and hopefully a goodie.
Do you need a teleprompter to remember the lyrics to this one?
Hopefully not. Okay. Hopefully not.
I know you know this song, and I know
I've sung it a million times.
Many of our listeners will know and love this one, as we are today doing a live session with Ingrid Michaelson on 88.5 KCSN.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. If you need a light, then I'd find a match. 'Cause I love the way you say good morning, and you take me the way I am. If you are chilly, here, take my sweater. If your head is aching, I'll make it better. 'Cause I love the way you call me baby, and you take me the way I am. And I'll buy you all your hair, I'll sew on patches to all you tear. 'Cause I love you more than I could ever promise, and you take me the way I am. Oh, you take me the way I am.
It's 88.5 KCSN, and we are here today with Ingrid Michaelson. You sort of introduced Allie and Billy, but why don't you actually formally introduce them? Allie, of course, we've known for years, but Billy has to earn his approval here at KCSN. So,
well, this is Allie Moss.
Hello, everyone.
And we've been together
8 years.
Is that it?
Yes.
Feels like forever. 8 years. Wow, that is forever. That's a long time. And Billy is brandy new. This is his first time playing radio with us. Woo-hoo. And he just joined the band 2 weeks ago.
You better pass muster today, kid.
He just did. He just did it right now.
Was that mustard?
That was pretty awesome.
I'm just kidding. I'm just goofing with you, Billy. Welcome. Welcome. All right. Good. You're facing the piano. Go ahead, face the piano, because now when I ask the questions,
I can see you in the reflection.
I know,
of the
but
piano.
Then no, I'm just.
Oh, this is okay. Yeah.
Well, you have had and you don't have to detail them. But you have had a challenging year on a number of fronts, and this was a question I was thinking about. You know, you've always written very vulnerable and personal and intimate songs. When you start writing with other writers, and you talked about being able to find other parts of yourself, and sometimes they recognize other things and you get real. But when you're going through a personal situation and you're trying to, perhaps use it as inspiration for a song, and then you have to kind of share the backstory. Yeah. How did you deal with that?
Well, with some people I told them what was going on. So I could speak openly about this. I think my both my parents are not as healthy as I would like them to be. Right. I'll put it that way. My mother just recently had a bone marrow transplant for her bone marrow cancer. And it's, if you don't know what that is, they chemo you till you have no immune system left, no bone marrow, basically, so you can't fight off any infection, and then they give you a donor. So some anonymous 51-year-old man who we can't meet until a year goes by, or we can't contact him until a year goes by, they just injected her after she had all this chemo. And it was I'm not going to go into crazy detail, but it's been a very hard, hard year leading up to that moment. And then that moment was even harder. And then the moments after it were even harder. And she's still in a place where she's recovering. She hasn't been home since the 17th of February. So it's been a very hard year health-wise. And my own health was another thing. I have got diagnosed with this sort of stomach issue and my thyroid. And it's a very crazy health year for me. And I was sort of locked up for like 6 weeks where I just didn't do anything but watch, bad TV and inhale, steam and eat watermelon. And I lost all this weight and I was like so sad and just pathetic and I wasn't writing or anything. So there was just so much going on that was so negative. In fact, in the middle of a writing session in Nashville, my throat felt like it was on fire. I was having this really bad, like acid sort of situation and nerve damage in my throat. And I left the session early and flew home the next day because I was like in tears during the writing session. But I was pretty open and honest with people that I was writing with. And I felt like that's kind of what made the songs come out the way they came out, is because they knew what was going on in my life. And it was hard for me to say it and to write about it. But when you can tell somebody else, they can kind of hold your hand through it, and it makes it an easier process. And the next song we're going to play, ironically, I went into this writing session with Brian Lee and Adam Palin, those are their names, in Manhattan, and my family dog had just died.
Oh, boy.
Okay. The day my mom goes into... So my mom had been having a lot of chemo this year, so she had to go in. This is before the whole transplant thing. So she had 4 days of chemo, and the first day she went in for the first time, my dog died. And the dog was like my parents' child, 10 years old. She had like some enlarged heart. She was my dog. And then she like, I ended up moving out and they kept her. And it was like,
she got your room.
Basically. Yeah. So the dog dies and my mom's in the hospital. Can't even be there with her when we bury her. I'm going to start crying. So like 4 days later, I go into this writing session and I'm like, okay. So I'm like, my whole record is about death. I don't want to write a song about death. I want to write a song about life. I want to write a song that celebrates life. I want to be joyful and happy. And then we wrote this song that we're going to play for you now. And gosh darn it, the name of the song is called Afterlife. Because I just can't get away. I couldn't get away from it. But I think it is a positive song. It's an affirming song. I think it's about knowing that you know, this physical world, we continue on in whatever way you want to believe, and wherever you go, whatever you think. I believe that there's something else, and we move on, and to remember that, and to be joyful, and to be present in your moment, but also know that we're part of such a bigger thing, and we're all made up of the same stuff, and you know, we're all made of stars. We're stardust. I don't know if y'all know that.
Yeah,
but I heard about that somewhere. And so that's kind of what this—that's what this song is about. So while it is called Afterlife, it's a positive. It's definitely positive.
All right. Well, we're gonna send prayers out to your mom. And what was your dog's name?
Molly.
Well, and this song we'll send out to Molly.
I bought them a new dog though, who's crazy.
What's the new dog's name?
His name is Billy, and he's insane.
No, I thought this was Billy.
This is Billy. I have two Billies in my life now. Both. Actually, and Allie's husband's name is Billy, so I've got three Billies.
Okay, so we'll send it out to all the Billies and one Molly.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, well, here it is. It's Afterlife, and it's live on KCSN.
What you didn't know is that we can go forever if we want to. We can live inside of a moment, the one that we own. You and me, we got this. You and me, we're beautiful, beautiful. We're gonna be alright. We always got the fight in us, and we all we're gonna live tonight like there's no tomorrow, 'cause we're the afterlife. Living like you're dying isn't living at all. Give me your cold hands, put them on my heart. Raise a glass to everyone who thinks they'll never make it through this life to live a brand new start. No tomorrow, 'cause we're the
It's 88.5 KCSN. Ingrid Michaelson joining us live in session, and that is one of the songs from Lights Out, her album that is about to come out. And I got to tell you, that was a great song, and we were all feeling great in here.
Thank
so
you.
It worked as
okay, good.
It really did. It was celebratory.
I've never sang that song after a talk. Actually, this is the first time I've ever talked about my mother.
Mm. I didn't mean to, like, you know.
No, but I know you and I trust you, and she's doing okay right now. So I feel like I want to almost raise awareness about what she's going through. And the drummer in my band, he recently donated his bone marrow, unbeknownst to the fact that my mother needed bone marrow. It was sort of
coincidentally.
Yeah, he saved. When my mother started recovering, I was just calling him and texting him and being like, I hope you know what you did. I know you don't know because you can't contact the person for a year, but you quite possibly saved this person's life. And so the fact that, you know, knock on wood, that she's on the upswing, although still very, she had basically what Robin Roberts had from Good Morning America. Not the same disease, but the same procedure. And Robin Roberts and I met her when I did Good Morning America a couple times. So I have her email, and she's like the sweetest person. And I would email her when I was so worried about my mother. And she's like, listen, I went through this and she will get better and it will, you know. And she, just in case anybody out there wonders about Robin Roberts, she's an angel. She's like the sweetest. She was like my touchstone. I would read her emails over and over again. But I've never actually sung that song after talking about this. Mm. So it has like it was
cathartic.
A little challenging at first.
But you know
what? But then it gets happy.
We felt it. We felt
good,
you.
Good.
I saw body language that you started to throw yourself into the song for all the right reasons.
Well, had to. It was live.
Yeah.
Couldn't break down now,
well,
can
well,
I?
There's that too, I guess. You're a pro, you know.
No, but I feel like that's what this whole, I feel like that's, that song is very symbolic of the record, of the whole record, in that, you know, you can have this darkness in your life, but you can turn it into something really positive and really important. And that's what this whole, that's what this record, that's what this year has made me realize, is that you can find lightness in darkness. And I think that that's such, there's so much darkness. There's more dark than there is light. But there is light.
Yeah.
And so as long as you know that, I feel like it's you're able to keep going and keep being positive. And so that's what I've realized. And that's what my whole record basically is about.
Well, and you've used a term that we use often at the station, celebrate music. And we really do believe that music is in our life to, you know, and sometimes it's dark ideas, you know, it's you know, life struggles. But ultimately, no matter what the source material is, it's meant to inspire and guide and inform us all and have us celebrate and be grateful for everything we have in life.
Yeah.
Now, shifting gears, because this is actually more my wheelhouse, as you well know. The rather sexy video that you did for the single Girls Chase Boys. And the whole idea, see, now we get into the salacious part.
Yeah, here we go.
And this is where really I'm more at home.
aren't we all?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I set it up. You tell me about the song and then B, the video. And what you intended, because you know the perv over here. I go places
right,
in my own head.
Well, okay, this song is called Girls Chase Boys, and I wrote it with Trent Dabbs and Barry Dean in Nashville. And when we wrote it, it was like a kind of like a happy breakup song, like again, kind of a similar theme in that there's like, you know, you're sad, we get it, you're heartbroken, but everybody's hearts get broken, so let's find the joy in life and move on, kind of an idea. And I remember walking around Brooklyn when I went home, and I was listening to the demo, and I was like, it just felt so it felt like a heterosexual club. Girls chase boys, chase girls. And you know, some of my best friends are gay, and a lot of my fans are gay, and I felt like, and I was like, and I wrote to my friend Kristen, who runs a site called Everyone Is Gay. And it's an advice column for anybody, but mostly teens and kids that are kind of scared and they don't know how to come out, or they're being bullied, and they go to schools and they lecture, and they're really, it's Danielle and Kristen, and they're awesome people. And so I wrote to Kristen, and I was like, do you think that people would be offended by this song? And she's like, no, not at all. It's your experience. You know, you're not gay. You don't have to write about being gay just because you're afraid of offending people. And then she texted me back I texted her the lyrics, and she texted me back a couple, like 10 minutes later. She's like, actually, she's like, I don't know. Now that I've been thinking about it more and more, and I'm not offended, but it would be awesome if there was, like, because I said, what if I said girls chase girls and boys chase boys, and I kind of mixed it in there somewhere. And she's like, that would be, like, so awesome. And such, like, such a nod to the community of your fans that are gay or queer and transgender. And there's, you know, so many different categories now that I can't even keep it all straight. But, and so that's where
straight.
The
I get it.
Yeah. That's where the girls chase boys chase girls chase girls chase boys chase girls line came in. I kind of tagged that on at the end. Of the chorus, and it's very subtle, and a lot of people don't even hear it. And in fact, so much so that people on my YouTube channel are like, this is such a anti-gay song. And I'm like, are you watching the same video and listening to the same song that I wrote? So then the idea of sort of bucking gender roles and just having fun with that seeped into the video idea. Although not consciously, I played my song over the Robert Palmer video, Simply Irresistible. I don't know where in my brain this came from, but I said, I want to see what it looks like over this. So I muted his video and I put my song on and I watched it, and it just made me laugh. It just, like, filled me with joy. I thought it was so funny and bizarre.
And it's an iconic video.
And it's an iconic video, exactly. So I thought, how funny if you know, since the song kind of has fun with that idea, if we flip the genders and if I was the Robert Palmer character and all of the beautiful women in the background and red lipstick and the makeup and the tight dresses were men. And that was where my idea kind of ended. And then I brought it to a friend of Lynn, my manager. Her friend is, he was the fourth blue man.
Oh.
So all the glory, none of the money kind of a thing. Mm. And he...
Pete Best.
He's like, his name is Andrew. And he's, like, very creative and very interesting brain. And he took the concept and just ran with it. And he threw women in there. He's like, I want there to be moments where the viewer doesn't know if they're seeing a man or a woman, because the idea, and he's like, your lyrics, you know, it's all the same thing. And I was like, oh yeah, it's all the same thing. And I didn't even thought in my head it's all the same thing. To me, it's all the same thing. Just meant, and actually Barry Dean wrote that line. It's all the same thing. We're like, yeah, it's all the same thing, you know, like we all chase each other, we're all, you know, but then it became this, it just became bigger than I ever really even intended it to become, even though it seems like I strategically was like, I feel like a lot of people are jumping on the, you know, the gay bandwagon,
right.
And that really wasn't my intention, although it seems like it was, but honestly, for me, it came from a place of wanting to be open arms to everybody and inclusive and not trying to, like, get blogs to write about it or something. I thought that the thing that people would latch onto was that it was a remake of this video.
Right.
But half the people that see it don't even know the old video. In the title of my video, I say an homage to Robert Palmer. People still don't see it. And they're like, this is really weird, but I like it. And I'm like, don't you see? And
some people
are like,
this is a rip-off. I'm starting to feel old.
No, I'm really starting to feel old. I remember the Pepsi one where they did Simply Irresistible with the Pepsi commercial. That's how I knew this song, actually.
Oh, jeez.
And the video was from the Pepsi commercial. But so that's what I thought was going to catch people's eye. And it really wasn't. It was more the idea that there are all these beautiful men in, you know, dark lipstick and eye makeup wearing bodysuits. They were actually wrestling tunics. They're called singlets, and I bought them on Amazon. And I bought jock straps. If you look at my Amazon cart from that time period, like when it shows you, like, your past, what you bought, I bought, like, jock straps, men's wrestling outfits, and I bought wax lips and these weird masks, because at one point I had this idea that everybody would have these weird wax lips, and we shot it, and it just looked really, really strange. But I'm like, whoever, like, works at Amazon that sees my shopping cart must be like, this woman is perverse. What does she need 12 jock straps for and a whole bunch of wrestling outfits?
I hate to break this to you, but now moving forward, your recommendations for you on Amazon are going to be a little
twisted.
I know.
That's what they say. They're real. It's all over the map. It's really funny. Well, I also buy, like, medical stuff for my mom and dad. My recommendations are crazy. So yeah, it's quite funny. But so the video was really fun. We did it in 2 days. And most of the time I was sitting on a couch watching, like, beautiful people dance around. I basically worked for, like, 2 hours. My hair and my makeup took longer than my performance, because that's all Robert Palmer did. It's like all these women danced around and all this stuff. He came on, he sang, did his thing, and then he probably just, like, had a shot of whiskey and then left, you know? And so I was there, but I stayed and I watched everything. And
see, Robert Palmer was such a beautiful, handsome guy. I once saw him, this is a serious aside, I once saw him come out of a blizzard. I worked at a concert promotion, and he was playing a hall, and he came out of a shut down the airport blizzard. He took off his perfect ski coat, just tossed his hair back, and he said, "I'm ready."
Wow.
And he looked like $1 million.
Right, right.
It's like, the guy couldn't look bad.
That's not fair.
I thought you were describing one of my parties when you said you just sat back on your couch and you watched all this going on.
I'd like to be invited to one of those parties.
Yeah, well, that's the old days. You wouldn't want to go to a party now. I go to sleep by 7. All right, well, then we've set up this song, I think. Can you play it in this setting?
Yes, we can. It sounds a little different, but I think we've done a pretty good job adapting it.
All right, well, then we're going to hear the first track that we've been playing on KCSN, Girls Chase Boys, live on 88.5 KCSN.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be. Oh, it's that same thing. Girls chase boys, chase girls. All the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be. Oh, it's all the same thing. Girls chase boys, chase girls. I'm a little let down, but I'm not dead. There's a little bit more that has to be said. You played me, now I play you too. Let's just call it over.
All the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be. Boys, chase girls, all the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be.
Ah, it's all the same thing. Girls, chase boys, chase girls. Chase girls, chase boys, chase boys. I'm a little bit home, but I'm not there yet. It's one to forgive, but it's hard to forget. Call me, I won't call you too. Let's just call it over.
All the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be.
Ah, it's all the same thing. Girls chase boys, chase girls. All the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be. Be alright, I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, I got two hands, one beating heart, and I'll be alright. I'm gonna be alright. All the broken hearts in the world still beat. Let's not make it harder than it has to be.
Let's not make it harder than it has to be.
It's all the same thing. Girls chase boys, chase girls.
It's 88.5 KCSN, and we have Ingrid Michaelson. Well, that is the song that many of the listeners of KCSN have been hearing on KCSN, Girls Chase Boys. It's from the album Lights Out, and that's coming out to
April 15th.
April 15th. Good thing you told me. I can't keep, see. I was asking you how you keep up with the songwriting. I can't keep up with anything.
It's tax day. That's how I remember it.
Oh, well.
you know, your refund to buy the record.
Perfect.
Hopefully you'll get more than that, though.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, well, at
two
least.
Two records.
Now, May 7th, you're going to be playing the Wiltern.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Well.
See, that's good. I forgot. I always forget to say where I'm playing.
But you know what? For me, personally, that's a cool thing because I remember when we started, first of all,
Hotel Cafe.
We worked up to the El Rey across the street.
We worked up to the Troubadour.
Right, right.
We worked up to the Hotel Cafe, if we're being honest.
Yeah, well, but now see the Wiltern. So,
yeah.
So that's where we're going to celebrate the fact that Ingrid Michaelson is going to be playing the Wiltern. The new album, Lights Out, is out. And we celebrate the fact that you guys came out today and shared your wonderful spirit, openness, and your music with us at KCSN. Thank you, as always, Ingrid.
Thank you.